Some economic issues are just radioactive, literally. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. There's some 80,000 metric tons of radioactive waste sitting around in nuclear power plants, waiting to be stored somewhere else. That estimate from the Department of Energy. New Mexico is now suing to prevent that state from becoming that somewhere else. One of its arguments, the economy. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with details. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
New Mexico is trying to stop construction of a new storage facility. That's what's happening. Tell us about this facility and why New Mexico is objecting.
Well, New Mexico is suing the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. State officials claim the commission has been rubber stamping a plan to build this proposed spent nuclear fuel storage facility and that it didn't listen to concerns from various stakeholders. Now, some of those concerns have to do with where in the state this facility would be built on top of the Permian Basin oil field. The Permian is the most productive oil field in the world, so New Mexico officials say a nuclear waste site could potentially disrupt the oil and gas industry there.
Disrupt it how?
Well, contamination is a major concern. The company that wants to build the facility has said it would be located in a geologically stable area, but state officials say that's not taking into account that fracking can cause earthquakes. We know this. So what would that mean for stored canisters of radioactive waste? And there's a similar tug of war in Texas, actually, Sabri. The governor there has even said having nuclear waste around makes oil field operations vulnerable to terrorist attack.
So where does this storage project stand now?
Well, it's in the final safety review phase, not a done deal. And now, of course, a judge will get involved in sorting this all out.
All right. Thanks, Nova.
You're welcome.
The yield on the 10-year treasury, that's basically the effective interest rate investors demand to buy government debt, has been rising. It reached a 14-month high today, at one point hitting 1.77%. It is an important indicator. That's why we talk about it. It can tell us a lot about the economy, could signal future economic growth, sometimes means concern over inflation. Dr. David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are treasury yields so high?
Well, I think interest rates have been going up pretty sharply all year, and it's really two things. One, we can see light at the end of the tunnel on the pandemic, and two, we've got all this fiscal stimulus, and we're going to get another dose of that this week as President Biden announces his infrastructure plan. But when you've got a recovering economy and the pandemic is receding, it's not so much that rates are very high now. They've just been very, very low, and they are moving higher with better news here.
At what point do Treasury yields, interest rates, get high enough that we should be concerned in some way that, you know, it's going to affect the housing market or something?
Well, I don't think we should be too concerned for most transactions. I think that while home prices have gone up a lot, frankly, it's not the mortgage payment that's the problem for most people still. But I do think it's a bigger issue given the amount of debt a lot of companies, and particularly the government actually, has issued in recent years. A lot of that debt is pretty easy to finance with very low interest rates, but it's going to be more difficult when interest rates rise. So I think we're going to see a lot of evidence of stress both in the government sector and in the corporate sector over the next year as these interest rates continue to rise.
David Kelly, chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Farmers in France have protested in front of the city hall in Lyon, a city of nearly 500,000, after its new mayor removed meat from school cafeteria menus. The mayor said the menu change was due to the pandemic. Not everyone believes him. Eating meat was, until recently, uncontroversial in France, but now, say farmers and the food industry, it's under attack. John Lawrenson reports from Lyon.
Farmers came to Lyon City Hall with goats, lambs and cattle to protest the removal of meat from school menus. A banner read, "Stop ideology in our plates." Véronique Labie has come with some of her cows from her farm just outside the city.
For me, it's not a question of eating or not eating meat. It's a question of liberty, of choice.
Inside City Hall, new Green Party Mayor Grégory Doucet declined to be interviewed. His spokeswoman said he didn't want to feed the controversy. The Green Party espouses environmentalism, but in a written statement, Doucet said he'd taken meat out of school offerings temporarily because of COVID-19 to allow canteens to adopt a single menu in order to speed up lunch lines and make social distancing easier. Labi doesn't buy it.
No, because I have a children who is going to school, not in Lyon, and the distancing is respected. And they eat meat.
At Claudius Bertellier, one of 129 schools where meat, though not fish or eggs, have been banned, parents like Stéphane Potta are upset.
It's a nonsensical decision. I was quite angry when I received the email about this from City Hall. Meat is an important source of protein, and our daughter doesn't much like fish or eggs.
Back in front of the City Hall, the protesting farmers are cooking up a barbecue for passers-by. There are plenty of takers. The mayor is promising to restore meat to school canteens when the pandemic's over, but will introduce a daily vegetarian option next year. In Lyon, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.